We are Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM.
Welcome back to the second part of today's show here on Community Radio Kilkenny City. Myself, Maurice O'Connor, standing in, or sitting in, as the case may be. I'm sitting anyway for Eugene Doyle today. And at the top of the show, Eugene's regular features is, and regular guests here on Kilkenny today, is David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. And indeed, David joins me on the line. Welcome, David. How are you?
Fantastic, Maurice.
Lovely to have you with us. Now, I know, and I haven't ever had a chance to have a conversation with Eugene about his level of expertise in matters astronomical, but I suspect that it's quite a lot more than mine. But we do have, I think, something from our, some recordings and snippets and bits and pieces of conversation and information that Eugene, possibly with your own cooperation, have recorded from some recent event. So maybe you just tell us what was going on, and you might be able to suggest pieces of the content that Eugene had recorded. I know you had something, there must have been something going on, because we've got lots of different bits of snippets of audio we could share with the listeners.
Yes, it's the biggest event in the astronomical calendar. It's Starbecue under the stars.
Great name.
It's like the electric picnic of stargazing. And what Astronomy Ireland does is, once a year, we set up some of the most powerful telescopes in the country and invite all 8 million people on the island to come and look at the wonders of the universe. Now, we also have talks, a professionally catered barbecue. We hire out the GA grounds in Roundwood so we can strew the telescopes across the playing field, and everyone can look in a really dark sky from the Wicklow Mountains. But there's also exhibitions, great crack as well, and hopefully some of Eugene's clips will convey that. It happens every year. It'll be a different date every year, a bit like Electric Picnic again, but it's the 5th of September next year. You can already book your tickets for it right now on our website, astronomy.ie.
Well, now we have a piece lined up, David, from Dr. George Dransfield, I think, regarding exoplanets. So maybe before we hear that, could you just tell us a little bit about who Dr. George Dransfield is and what exoplanets are?
Well, with all due respect to our other speakers, she was the star of the show. She flew in especially from, she's the new BBC astronomy presenter, just started this year on The Sky at Night, the longest-running television program in the history of the world.
Indeed.
And her talks are even better than her performances on BBC4 every month. And she talked about not only the fact that she studies planets going around other stars, but she went to the South Pole to do it in temperatures of minus 75 degrees Celsius.
Oh, my goodness.
She is a brilliant public speaker. In fact, we're hoping to put her talk online on our website. Follow us on social media. Astronomy.ie has the links, and you'll hear about that. And I would highly recommend it. It's all about sparkly dresses, jeans, oh, and a little bit of astronomy.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to Dr. George Dransfield, and we'll be back. This is about 4 minutes long, and we'll be back just after that, and we'll continue the chat. Thanks very much, David. Stay with us.
Right.
Which is, of course, what was an astronomer doing during Antarctica in summer? Of course, if I was leaving in November for 3 months, then it would be Antarctica summer for the entire time I was there. Now, famously, in Antarctica, the sun is up all summer long. It never set the entire time I was there. And, you know, bright skies are not the best conditions for astronomy. So I guess to kind of make sense of the very important Gene story, I'm just going to have to kind of sidestep for a second and tell you a bit more about what it is that I actually do work-wise. So, as mentioned several times, I am an exoplaneteer, so I work in the field of exoplanets. Exoplanets are planets outside the solar system. Most of these exoplanets are orbiting any star other than the Sun, but there are also a bunch that we've discovered that we call rogue planets that are kind of free-floating through space, and they have no star at all, which is pretty cool. Now, within the field of exoplanets, what I do specifically is discovery. So people get very, very specialized in research. And what I do is I search for new planets, and then I try and find out stuff about them. And this is something are now over 6,000 planet mark. And in fact, yesterday, the NASA Exoplanet Archive announced that we had passed over 6,000 exoplanets discovered so far, which is incredibly impressive, right? And to put this number into context for you, we reckon that in the galaxy, there are about 100 billion exoplanets, which kind of means that so far we've discovered 0.0006% of the available planet population. But bear in mind, this is just an estimate, because 100 billion is based on the fact that statistically we know Mars has at least one planet, and we know roughly how many stars there are in the galaxy, but it could be higher. We could actually be up as far as 0.0007% of planets. It is enough planets to do statistics on and to stand the exoplanet population. And so obviously I work in discovery, I'm searching for new ones. You might be wondering, why is she still got a job? Which I could say is mean, but honestly, why are we still looking for more planets day in, day out if we've already discovered over 6,000 of them? And I really want to convince you that discovery is still important and exciting and necessary. And to convince you of that, I'm going to do something that I have been told is actually quite a bold move at a public talk. I'm going to show you a graph. But it's a cool graph, so kind of bear with me on this. And in fact, it's so cool, I imagine that most, if not all of you, when you see the graph, will say something along the lines of, ooh. Are we ready, graph?
Yeah.
Okay, here she comes. Ooh. And is she not coming? Has this disconnected? Oh, there we go. Thank you. Okay, this is actually a beautiful graph. And so what you're looking at here is the exoplanet population that we have discovered so far. So every blue dot there is one of those 6,007 planets we've discovered. And I'm going to tell you what you're looking at. So I can't just drop a graph and then go straight into describing it. But what this is planet size. So how big planets are discovered versus how far away they are from the star that they're orbiting. And it's all scaled relative to Earth. So what I can do is, where the one meets the one, I can drop Earth in, and my controller is kind of giving up on me. Oh, there we go. So you can drop Earth in there, and so then to make sense of the rest of the data, I can say everything to the left of Earth is closer to its star than Earth is to the sun.
Right, so that sounds incredibly entertaining, Dr. George Stransfield there, David. Her energy and enthusiasm comes absolutely shining through, even if the sound quality wasn't absolutely brilliant. She's a serious expert, serious entertainer, I'd say, by the sound of things, and a fanatic for her subject.
Absolutely, yes. I think Eugene recorded that on his own sound system. We have digital recordings of the both video, which we can't transmit on radio, of course,
and
excellent sound quality as well.
Good, we'll put online. Good.
But yeah, you got the gist there. She's a brilliantly entertaining speaker.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, with I don't know, did I pick up correctly? Was she saying that there's an estimate of 100 million or 100 billion planets that possibly in the whole universe?
It's the billions.
Billions.
We know now that practically all stars have planets, probably multiple. So there are probably more planets in the universe than there are stars. And there's roughly a trillion stars in the universe that we know of.
Yeah.
And so multiply that by a factor of 10 to get the number of planets.
Certainly there'd be plenty of work then for the exoplanet experts like Dr. George Stransfield then forever and ever and ever, by the sound of things. Was there any discussion at all of this? I'm sure the kind of thing that some kind of every occasional listeners would be thinking, okay, like, where is all this going? Is this all about finding the next life forms on planets outside of Earth? Is this where this is all going, or is that just a kind of a sideline for the real scientists?
No, the holy grail would be to find another Earth, at least a planet that's the same size, same temperature, has the same conditions, where we think life could evolve like it did on the Earth. And the techniques we use to find these planets around the stars, they're right at the edge of our technology. This is probably like people in Dublin trying to see moths fluttering around streetlights in Cork. So that's not easy. And then you want to know, you know, do the moths around those streetlights have life on them? Maybe little ticks on them or something like that. But there are various tricks being used, and we expect the planets are there because we've seen the Earth form, and Venus is near us. It's very similar to the Earth. But finding the actual smaller planets like the Earth is going to be a trick. But that'll happen in our lifetime. And young people in particular, who we love to inspire to a career in science in general, if not astronomy in particular, they're the ones that are going to do it.
Mm. And it's amazing, actually, when you think of it, how many instances you can think of science fiction actually becoming science reality over the years. I mean, you only have to go back as far as the likes of H.G. Wells, probably in the early 20th century, and then even all the way up through early episodes of Star Trek with the little phone devices and all this sort of stuff. And all this technology, all this science, although it was all in fantastic and in people's imaginations way back when, has all become real. So the whole idea of finding a life form outside of Earth, you know, should be probably taken quite a lot more seriously than it may be by some people.
Yeah, this is what I love about astronomy. There's everything from that to looking through telescopes at pretty things, looking at pretty pictures in our magazine every month, right to be up to the mathematics and the pure science if you're into that end of things, space exploration, becoming an astronaut, and all points in between. It's got to be the most interesting hobby. It's the study of everything in the universe, so how couldn't it be? And one of our other speakers, I'm not sure if Eugene has a clip of that lined up for us, was actually the deputy director of SETI in California. Now, he wasn't there in person. He zoomed in, and so we definitely have his lecture recorded digitally.
Simon Steele,
and he talked about searching for extraterrestrial intelligent life.
Simon Steele, I think we may be able to bring that to listeners. All right, we'll do that in a few minutes once I get it lined up. But you did mention that the main focus of the StarBQ event in Roundwood, Wicklow, recently was to assemble together all the best telescopes in the country. And I know Eugene recorded a piece with the Dr. Oisin Craner about how his telescope actually works. Maybe that'd be an interesting one to play. And then the other thing I'm really interested in myself, because one of my late brother of mine had a little bit of interest. I think he was a member of Astronomy Ireland. The whole idea of on how to capture photography from telescopes, and particularly telescopes that are looking up at the night sky. And I think that might have been a part of the whole StarBQ event. But maybe it may be good to hear from Dr. Oisin Craner about his kind of expose or explanation, or talk about how a telescope works. We take that, and then we maybe talk about the photography side of things.
And just to introduce Oisin was a young member. He was doing his degree in Trinity College, and we used to have a big telescope shop ourselves during the Celtic Tiger, and he would help pack telescopes at the weekend for pocket money. And he went on to get his PhD, went to USA and the University of Berkeley, no less, and has come back to Ireland now. He's a lecturer in DCU. It's great to see young people who take it from packing boxes right the way up to a full-time career. You don't have to do that to join Astronomy Ireland. We want beginners, but Oisin's a fine example of that.
Absolutely amazing to see where, as you say, just a personal interest or a bit of accidental employment somewhere actually has led to a sparking a passion and a career as that. So let's have a listen to Dr. Oisin Craner, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Now, I'm joined by Dr. Oisin Craner, who was the last speaker and who told us about how telescopes work. Dr. Craner, it must be very difficult to bring it down to this level when you're so used to being so technical.
So it's something that you get practice in, and I've given talks from 5-year-olds to 80-year-olds. I've given talks at universities and international conferences. The idea is you have to understand where people are, you meet them where they are. So that's what I focus on. I try to just make sure I make it a story that people can follow. And I hope that that works today.
Yeah, and for people who are coming here who are just new to astronomy and want to get more, that lecture that you gave was really important for them to understand just the basics of how a telescope works. And the one thing I picked up from it is that everyone talks about magnification, but it's actually not. Sure it's not.
Yeah, so I think there's often common misconceptions that exist. Things like magnification is the purpose of a telescope. And as I said during the talk, it's even the definition in the dictionary, whereas for astronomy in particular, the main purpose of a telescope is to be a funnel for light to get things in. And some of those you learn by either coming to talks like this or to read it in books, and it takes time, it takes practice. So there's no judgment about, you know, people who came here didn't know that, thought that it was all about the magnification. You know, that's why you come talk to someone like me. That's why you talk to people like Astronomy Ireland. You learn and read, and the more you read, the more you learn, and you'll get what is needed by picking it up as you go along.
Dr. Roisin Craner, thank you indeed for joining me on the programme.
Thank you.
And I think it was great to hear that, David. And as I also got the impression from that, you know, that it shouldn't be about getting involved in an interest or pursuing an interest in astronomy. Shouldn't be involved in trying to find some way to spend the maximum amount of money you can on the most expensive equipment you can. That there are more kind of affordable and straightforward entries into the whole world of understanding the night sky and looking at it and getting more interested and more knowledgeable in what's going on.
Oh yes, Astronomy Ireland is all about beginners. We're the most popular astronomy society in the world. We actually think the Irish probably invented astronomy going way back to Newgrange. And the whole idea is to let us do the work. We'll set up the telescopes and you just come along and look through them. And, you know, if you want to spend any money on the hobby, about 30 quid will get you an excellent pair of binoculars. Terrific for astronomy. About 100 times better than your eyes. You can get into telescopes then if you want. Only about 1 in 10 of our members has a good telescope. The rest are happy to read the magazine and see the pictures taken by billion-dollar telescopes from space and around the world. And that's part of the fun, is understanding, you know, the discovery of the universe.
And we might talk about the photography aspect to this as well, because I think, I know, my late brother also subscribed to Sky and Telescope magazine, and the incredible photography that is reproduced in that, and you read about how people capture the images and what they had to do and the kind of equipment they used. You were talking about a very cheap entry-level pair of binoculars, and I presume anybody who's into photography that might have a tripod, if you attach something like binoculars to a tripod, you get that kind of stability that makes the whole experience that much more accessible and enjoyable.
Yeah, and Sky and Telescope magazines actually what started me off as a youngster. There wasn't even a British magazine at the time, let alone an Irish one. And I'm glad to report that now we have astrophotographers around Ireland. We publish their work every month, who are taking world-class photographs. The digital camera has revolutionized anything and everything. And the people probably don't realize it, but everyone is carrying around a powerful astronomy camera in their pocket. They can now do night mode with smartphones that'll take several seconds of exposure. Yeah, you can get a tripod, again, tens of euros for one, but you can actually use your shoe. If you set them on timer and they're going to take a 10 or 30 second exposure, And pop it in your shoe. Take your shoe off, stick it on the roof of the car, pop it in your shoe. That'll tilt your camera phone upwards. The 10-second timer, press shoot. You have 10 seconds to let go of the shoe and stop any wobble. And it will record stars fainter, far fainter than you can see with the naked eye. We've
really,
had some incredible Milky Way photographs in recently.
So that good, current smartphone cameras, are they?
It's the long exposure, Morris, that does it. You see, our eyes are like video cameras, taking several pictures a second. A camera phone can sit there at least 10 seconds, I've seen on them. Some of them go up to 30 seconds. And these are the cheapest ones you can buy in the shops. And they then just beat the human eye easily. Even the little lens in the camera phone is smaller than the lens in your eye. It's still beats us.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think Eugene got a piece with Anthony Lynch, who's a photographer as well. It's about 4 minutes long, but I think I better take another ad break before we get into that. Otherwise, I'll forget and I'll be given out to for not helping us pay the bills. I'll take the ad break and hang on there, David, with us anyway.
Great, because Anthony is world class.
Excellent, great. Well, I look forward to hearing that. Look, we'll take our ad break first and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Streaming live on crkc.ie.
And welcome back. And last part of today's Kilkenny Today. And I'm still joined on the line by David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. We'll have a listen to Anthony Lynch, David, and we'll continue the chat just after that.
Now, I'm here with Anthony Lynch, who is a photographer here. But I understand, Anthony, that you're a painter and decorator by trade.
I am. I work on construction sites during the day and take pictures at night time.
That's absolutely amazing. I'm looking at the array of photographs here that you've taken. This just absolutely spectacular. I mean, they would be definitely a talking piece in anyone's home, would they not?
I agree, yeah. I know I took them myself, but a lot of hard work goes on them, and years of practice and travelling all over the country, because you can't get a shot from Dublin. It does not take much. So a lot of travelling and stuff, apart from one shot here at Phoenix Park, a moon shot you can get from Dublin. Everything else, you have to travel first, so just to get darker skies.
Okay, and how long have you been doing it, Anthony?
I'm doing it about 10 years now.
Okay. There's some amazing... Can we just zoom in on one or two of the photographs here? Because they're all just absolutely amazing. As I said, they would be a talking piece in anyone's home. So let's look at this one here, first of all. I'm looking at the observatory here in Dunsink.
Yes.
I'm looking at 3, 6, 9, 11 moons going up in a diagonal shape in the sky. Tell me about that photograph.
This was during lockdown times, and I contacted Peter Gordon, who runs the observatory up in Dunsink, and I asked, is there any chance we can get up there and get a shot? Because the moon was supposed to line up with the obelisk in Killiney from the back of the observatory, but when we got there it was cloudy, so we couldn't get it to line up. So he says, I'm going to take a shot of the big dome telescope, the Grubb telescope dome. What you do, set your tripod up, take a shot of the moon coming up, leave it for 2 minutes, take another shot the same, 2 minutes, another shot, and stack them all in Photoshop, and you get that illusion of the moon just moving across the sky.
Absolutely,
all in one single image.
Absolutely amazing.
And the guy who actually ran the telescope, he was the last guy to run the telescope, his family bought a load of copies of him, and one of them got this actual thing tattooed on their arm as well, this actual picture.
Oh, wow. Cool. Now, I'm looking at this one taken not too far away from where I am. I'm in Kilkenny, and I'm looking at the Starman. Tell me about, describe this picture to me and tell me what it's about.
Okay, this is Tronabow Beach, I believe it's called, in Waterford. Now, Waterford is a great spot for the Milky Way, because we always want to look south for the Milky Way, so obviously if you're down at Waterford, south-east coast, you're looking into darkness, not like up here where you're looking into light pollution. But there's a big sea stack there. I was doing a long exposure with an astro-modified camera to pick up the reds, and I just stood in next to the stack just to give the scale to see the whole universe with me just standing there. That's why I call it the Starman. It's me just looking at it.
Wow. It's absolutely... It's breathtaking, I have to say. Now, and then we've one over here, and this looks like it could be taken anywhere in the world, but it's actually in the Phoenix Park, is it?
It is. It's the Phoenix Park, and I was up there. A friend of mine was over from America, and he'd never been to the park, and I was showing him around, and we saw the moon coming up, so let's get some moonrise shots up at the fort in the park. And then I spotted the crane from the Dublin Children's Hospital, which has been going on for years, and it says, if we run to the other end, that will line up with that crane. So we ran down, and I stood there for ages, just click, 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 until it actually lined up with the crane. So it looks like the crane is...
It looks like the crane is actually holding the moon.
Lifting the moon. I only had it up online 2 hours, and the guy driving the crane contacted me. He bought the picture. The office bought 3 pictures as well for the office as well.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It's really good.
It's amazing. And I'm just... We could go through them all, but I mean, there's just amazing photographs. What kind of prices are these, Anthony? Just for...
On my website, I charge €100 for these fine art prints. They're an A3 size mounted. But tonight only, I sell them half price, €50, because I need to clear some space in my house. Way too many. So €50 tonight, and then I have calendars for next year, fridge magnets, a bit of everything, but half a sale.
Yeah. Anthony Lynch, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and the very best of luck for tonight. You have a lot of interest here tonight.
Cheers. Thanks very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Cheers.
That was amazing, actually, David. What a dedicated and enthusiastic and joyful amateur can actually achieve with photography. I think I remember seeing that sequence that he had taken of the moon rising from up near where it is in Dublin anyway, the Astronomy Ireland HQ, where you have your observatory up there. I do remember that. I must go looking for the Starman photo from near Kilkenny and the one of the crane lifting the moon. I presume Anthony has a website that we could go and explore. Anthony Lynch has, so we could go and look at his some of his photos.
Does. And if you just search Anthony Lynch photography, you'll get him. If you have difficulty, contact Astronomy Ireland. We're delighted to support him in getting his prints out there. He spent a lot of money on his equipment, and even patents and decorators aren't made of gold. And so it shows what can be done, even by, you know, ordinary people. In 10 years, Astronomy Ireland's running 35 years. So Anthony is a relative newcomer, and yet his work is probably the best in the country. And he's been on the front cover of Astronomy Ireland magazine a few times, and a quick sneak preview, on the front cover next month.
Next month's one. When will that be out on the shelves, or how can people get that directly
from
themselves?
It'll be out at the end of October. That's a November issue of the magazine. It has everything to see in the sky in November. It gives you 2 weeks to practice to get ready for what's coming up. Again, stuff you can see with the naked eye.
Yeah.
So, for instance, this Sunday, Saturn's near the moon. Next Monday, Jupiter's near the moon. These are easy to photograph with your smartphone as well as see yourself.
Yeah.
So there's lots of easy things to see. We're very much for beginners. People maybe don't even have a pair of binoculars, let alone a telescope. And Anthony shows just how far it can be taken.
Yeah, and one of the things Anthony did mention, and the kind of two aspects of this, I suppose, that are very critical in a sense for good night sky photography. One is a clear night sky. Anyway, it goes without saying. There's no point in taking anything with a sky full of clouds. And the other then is just the whole light pollution side of things. I think Anthony mentioned that are certain things he couldn't do from in around Dublin. I believe there are a couple of places. Am I right in thinking around the country? At the Black Valley in Kerry and Neffenbeg National Park in Ballycroy and Mayo, that are regarded as kind of light pollution free places in the country, so which would be perfect for looking at the night sky.
Yeah, these are the dark sky parks.
Dark sky parks,
dark sky
that's
reserve,
the term, yeah.
Which are amongst the darkest places in all of Europe, probably because we live on the edge of an ocean, so there's not going to be developments in one direction anyway. But don't be put off by a trip, you know, to Kerry, Donegal, or places like that. The Wicklow Mountains is actually very dark. And if you travel about, it depends how big the city is, but even Dublin, tens of miles outside the city, you're 90% of the way there. So you'll get much, much better skies.
Well,
and
I tell you,
that's why we run the Starbecue in the Wicklow Mountains.
Well, as a dub who moved down from Kilkenny, living in Kilkenny, moved down from Dublin 20 years ago, every single one, myself and every single one of my family, just marvelled at how much clearer the night sky is here and how much more we can see down here in Kilkenny. We're just a bit outside of the city, and it's remarkable what you can actually see on a clear on a night of a clear sky here as opposed to somewhere like Dublin where there's so much ambient light pollution. So as you say, I think there's plenty of opportunity. Am I right in thinking as well that the International Space Station, if there's a clear sky, might be visible for a while yet?
Yeah, we've been watching it for 2 weeks, and even people I've seen it from the middle of Grafton Street in Dublin easily. You can see it from there, you can see it from anywhere. It outshines all the stars in the sky. But this is its last pass tonight at 7:42. It'll be very low down and far away, so it might be tricky to see. If you can see the moon, look just above the moon at 7:42. Don't worry though, it'll be back in November for two more weeks of passes every night. But the interesting thing is there are seven astronauts on board that, so it's a very popular target. And there are things you can see even in towns and cities. The moon next week, Sunday night, and the moon near Jupiter, you could see those from the middle of the biggest cities in Ireland easily. So don't be totally put off. And as I said, a lot of people are armchair astronomers who don't want to go out in the cold anyway. They just want to read about all the discoveries. So there's something there for everybody. And that's the magazine. We try and cover everything. You won't read the magazine cover to cover every month, but hopefully there's some a couple of stories or pictures that will really excite your imagination.
And speaking of pictures, just back to, we'll close out the conversation now. We're kind of getting close to the end of the show, David. Thanks a million for joining us again. Just talking to pictures, I suppose you mentioned that kind of the mobile phone 10-second exposures, but if you do happen to have a camera, I think you can take indefinitely long exposures and get great, if you happen to be able to see the International Space Station passing by, or even the pattern of stars moving around and planets moving around the sky with a long some exposure with things going across the arcs, that like things like meteors and the International Space Station that aren't following the circle that the rest of everything else is describing. You get some great imagery of what's really happening over maybe a slightly longer period of time than 10 seconds.
And make sure you send your best results into Astronomy Ireland magazine. I mean, we've got two bright comets coming. One or two of them in October might actually be bright enough to be seen with the naked eye. There's another one coming in January. Huge meteor shower coming in December. There's always something really spectacular every month, just for the naked eye, let alone having to have a telescope. But yeah, if you get the proper digital cameras, you can become world-class like Anthony Lynch and others. We had Tom O'Donoghue there at the Starbucks as well from astrophotography.ie, and he tends to use telescopes to go a little bit deeper. So there's so many aspects to this hobby. Join Astronomy Ireland. You don't know what you're missing every month.
Well, that's as good a sales pitch to end on as anything. Thanks a million for joining us again, David.
By the way, there's a Saturn watch coming up on October 21st, public lecture October 13th, and evening classes for beginners October 28th.
Great.
And it's all on astronomy.ie.
Okay. Lovely. Thanks a million, David. Lovely talking to you. And
you're
no doubt you'll be back with Eugene before long. Take care. And that's all.
Bye-bye.
And that's all we've time for on today's Kilkenny Today. Lovely to have had your company.